Tim made some points about something that I have been very passionate about, is learning how to trust the Lord, spiritually speaking, while being actively dealing with flesh all the time. And in our world, one thing I have focused on in that idea is how do we walk in the Spirit while being in the flesh all the time? And I answered that a few weeks ago by saying, actually, you walk in the Spirit because you live in the Spirit. And Paul said it, if I live in the Spirit, I will walk in the Spirit. So that tells us, behind it all, my walking and my manifestation, if it's sin, well, it's going to be a spirit of iniquity and lies of Satan. That's going to manifest sin. But if the Spirit of God is present, working in my heart, what's going to be manifested in my walk? Well, spiritual walking. Fruits of the Spirit, manifestations of truth. That's how many realize, okay, there's an inward part of me that the Lord is cleansing. That's it. I mean, that's the secret to everything. What is God doing? He is cleansing the inward man. What is the entire focus of our journey in this world? It's to realize this world was built for distraction. It was built for temptation. It was built to draw us away from God. So my outward adorning, Peter talks about, my outward appearance, my outward focus, it is all a deception to seduce us away from seeing the most important part of God. I'm a spirit, and my inward spiritual being needs to understand all of this, what's outside of me. That's why you're here. He said, no, I'm here because I fell. Well, there's that. But why? Why would anybody fall? I mean, Adam taught us that. I mean, he got caught up in a wrong thought. He didn't discern what he actually was, did he? Look, we have the greatest opportunity in this physical world right now is to find out what God has breathed into us. I love that, man. So, like, am I upset about everything that happens around me? Look, that's trying. It's sure, it's a trying. It's a testing. Things around us don't work out most of the time in this world. But everybody, have you realized this world is death? It's corruption. Who would want to take what God has called corruption and then pretend that it's supposed to be perfect? Anybody? No, I don't ever want to be a politician because I've got to lie about the situation and convince everybody that it's going to be okay. And the situation may not always be okay. But what will be okay is that inward being that is going to deal with that situation. That's what God is after. And I love that part because what it does for this church is we say, why have I been here all these years? Because things in my physical life hasn't always been fixed. Okay, I agree with that. But what has been fixed in a lot of cases is how I perceive my life, how I perceive those around me, how I perceive God, because that's first. So here we are. How do I walk and manifest the Spirit of God? Well, I need the Spirit of God in me. I need, what would that be? You could narrow it down to Jesus saying, my words are spirit and life. My words are truth. What have you been coming here every week and have happening to you for years now? Have you been coming in hearing the word and having it cleanse you? What's it cleansing? Your flesh? Or is it cleansing how you think? Is it cleansing you so you can have the mind of Christ? It is. It's putting in you the thoughts of God. It's putting in you the heart of God. It's putting in you an understanding of an inward being that is of God and not of the world. So it's separating that, and it's saying, hey, I'm of God, so I'm going to live in the Spirit. And how does that happen? Well, I'm going to get to know God. That's pretty simple. Get to know God. And God will teach me his love, and then we'll go from there. I mean, it's, to me, I think it's become very easy, whereas in the early days, in my mind, it was a little more complicated because you take on the idea of, okay, well, man, Gary talked about tabernacles. I gotta learn all that. Brian's talking about iniquity and forgiveness and sin. Oh my gosh, there's so much. I don't have time for all this. I can't understand. When do I study and learn all that? Well, first of all of our enduring of studying is not the answer to fixing any problem. How many has been through the 8-hour day studies? Some of you are like, 8 hours? But no, there are some of us in here who have literally could study for 8 hours and not even blink. That is not the answer. It never was, right, Marty? You're one that could study 8 hours back in the day, man, putting stuff together. Me and Marty's talked about it. Where did it get you, Marty? Puffed up. That's about it, right? Full of pride. But that's never been the answer. So the written scripture is there to guide us, but it's not supposed to puff us up. It's supposed to change the heart. So I think we've answered some questions on how simple this should be, and it really comes down to I just need to live by faith and walk in what God gives me. And that settles a lot of things down. And so let me read something to you that I find very interesting. How many remember years ago preaching a lot about that which is seen is temporal? You could turn there. Go ahead and put the scripture up. It's in 2 Corinthians 4. It's the last verse of the chapter. 18, something like that. Whatever is seen is temporal, right? Is that what it says? But the things which are not seen, what are they? Eternal. Now notice how it starts off the verse. We're not looking at things which are seen. Now, I got to ask you guys a question. What perception is he writing from here? Is it from the earth or from heaven? Now, here's what I know, and the answer is always going to be heaven, right? But let me help you out here. Of course, he's writing from a heavenly perception, but he's writing it to people who think from the earth. Because if you're in the flesh today, can you see the chairs you're sitting on? Hello? Yes? Can you see me? Am I seen? Are you seen? That's why we say, hey, good to see you. You're seen. So what part is not seen if you're coming from the flesh? The Spirit. Eternal. Now, bear with me. If you're in the flesh body, God is invisible, is he not? Is heaven invisible? Yes. Is the spirit realm invisible? Okay, so don't panic when I say he's coming from a perception of the earth. He's acknowledging that you walk in the flesh of an earthly body. That's what Paul is acknowledging. That which is seen is temporal, earthly, But that which is not seen is eternal. So now he's going to say to us, based on that idea, I need to teach you that while in this earthly body, this earthly tabernacle, this earthly house, I need to teach you that there is a spiritual body that you can only see when you enter the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? So in other words, if you're going to see a spiritual being, are you going to be in the flesh with physical eyes seeing them? Or do you need to be in the Spirit to see something spiritual? Are you following me? Am I making sense? In other words, why can't I get to God? Well, maybe we're looking and trying to find someone who's invisible, because we're looking from our earthly eyes. That could even relate to earthly perception, couldn't it? Like if I'm in an earthly perception, is it going to be hard to find the mind of Christ? Because the mind of Christ would be invisible. This is heavy duty stuff, man, but it's very needful. If this is going to be a New Testament church that walks in the Spirit, we need to know the difference. Paul is not afraid to say, hey, I'm not going to address you in a heavenly perception today. I'm going to address you from an earthly perception, because I need to teach you that earth and the flesh is not going to have any power over you. I need to teach you that the heavenly is what you're after. So he leaves this in the last verse of this chapter, and he starts going into, they break it up into a new chapter, but it's a continuation. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know, notice he said that, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, he's calling this tabernacle the earthly house, were dissolved or done away with or destroyed, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you know what he's talking about here? Is he still, he's talking about an earthly house, which he's calling a tabernacle. And he's saying, if that tabernacle goes away, what is remaining? A spiritual house. Is he talking about the body? Is he talking about the earthly body? So is this a promise that when you put off an earthly body, there remains a heavenly one? So how many of you are afraid to put off the earthly body? Don't be. Because we know, hear that? We know that if the earthly tabernacle house is destroyed or dissolved, we have a heavenly one. Our heavenly one. When is God and where is God already working on the heavenly tabernacle? Has he already started it in you? Do you know it's there right now? So can you put off the old man now in consciousness and go ahead and take on that new tabernacle? Can we start to believe that? Some of you are believing it. Many of you are believing it. All of you are believing it. Why? Because it's being preached and taught, and day by day you come in and God is changing your thoughts on it. You're learning that the earthly house that I've been living in will come to an end. Is that what he says? He basically says that. We know. It's that it's going to go away. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to be destroyed. But we have a heavenly house. It's eternal. But notice the last verse. He said, it's not seen by what eye? That which is earthly. See, why do we get so caught up in the earthly house? Oh, come on, because you can see it. You see what I'm saying? Everybody, bear with me. I'm going to do it. Seeing is believing. Is that what we say? Seeing is believing. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? It's awesome. Been there 5 times. Every season. And it's awesome no matter which season you go to. And you could say, no, you got to see it to believe it. You could say that. The force of the river, the falls itself. On the Canada side, though, if you didn't go to the Canada side, you missed out. You got to see it, right? Well, that's an example in our life here of where we put a lot of stock in seeing. Well, I saw the picture. No, that's not the same. No, you got to go there. You got to be there. It's kind of like what we preach sometimes. Say, no, listen, but I have the Bible. I know what the Spirit is. No, you going there and seeing it makes a difference. Experience it, right? What stops us from seeing the eternal? We're looking with the wrong eyes. It's an earthly mindset blocks the heavenly and makes it invisible. There's a mindset in us that is full of, we talked about this yesterday, is full of control. It's in the flesh, we have the ability to control a lot of things, but then there's a lot of things we can't. A tornado being one of them. In the flesh, we could at least control. Sometimes I could run from a tornado. I could hide in a basement. We have the ability to control certain things. God made it, when dealing with the flesh, He made it that the flesh can never control the Spirit, ever. You can't control your own salvation. You can't control your own deliverance. You can't control anything to make yourself more perfect than God. Yeah, but I stop watching TV. I stop smoking and drinking and cussing and hanging out with the wrong people. I stopped everything. I don't need to leave my house. Yeah, but you're left with your thoughts. Uh-oh, that's worse than outside the house sometimes. So what do we need? We need the author and the finisher, the creator, to come in and reshape and reform and recreate and rebirth our inner being or the way we think. And so while our eyes have been so focused on earth, he says, when this dissolves, you got to put your hope in a heavenly tabernacle, an abiding place with God. And while some may look at these verses as attaining to something after I physically die, that's awesome. I'm not going to deny that. There is a putting off of this earthly physical body, but let's think a little better than that and say there's also a putting off of the old man who is of the earth, of Adam. And I want to put on this new man, this new body, this new tabernacle, the mind of Christ. That's good. So that starts here, right here. And we've been working it. And God's been honoring His word by changing our mindset. But remember, I taught you what Paul also said. There's a law of sin and death in the flesh. So if you're only seeing through the eyes of the flesh, what are you always seeing? Sin and death. Yeah. How many of you went through a journey of time, man, I can't do nothing right? Anybody ever done that? What did you just confess? I see only the flesh. That's what you're confessing. I don't see the eternal. I don't see God. I don't see the invisible. My eyes have not been open to the heavenly realm. That's what we're confessing. So to remove sin and death means that the Holy Ghost has to do a work in us. Judgment is a big part of that. But the Holy Ghost has to come in with His Word and begin to divide and work salvation and open our spiritual eyes to a heavenly place. I love that. And this is exciting. I got to read a few more, right? Because I get so stirred up with Paul's teachings here. By the way, stay at verse 1 for 1 second. A house not made with hands. Everybody heard what I said about control in the flesh? Was your house built or did it just appear? Your physical house. Did it just appear one day? Or did somebody build it? You say, well, I didn't see it built, so I don't know if it appeared or not. It was just there when I got there. No, somebody built the house. Heavenly houses are not built with hands. But notice how he's dealing with hands of flesh. You cannot build an eternal house with hands of flesh. You could be as literally faithful to every single word of the law. You could be faithful to it, every commandment in the flesh, and still battle with the inner being. You can't build your house with hands of flesh. Only God can build a house. That's good, Micah. He is the builder. He is the author, the creator. Wow. So, for verse 2. For in this idea, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So from the flesh, have you ever groaned and just desired for a heavenly, to have heaven revealed, to have my eyes open to my eternal home, my new body? Have you ever just groaned in the spirit? Paul says in Romans 2, he uses that word again, we're groaning for the adoption, to put off the earthly body. We're groaning for this adoption of a heavenly body. I'm still in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. I'm groaning for the heavenly. Notice how he's setting in order. You say, well, you shouldn't be groaning. You should be happy you're getting this opportunity. Yes. But notice the groaning is not a negative here. It's teaching us that if you're always just seeing in the flesh, you should be desiring some heavenly things here. And so earnestly desiring, earnestly expecting, earnestly just, wow. I want to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. That should be your desire. That should be the prayer and why the groaning in the spirit takes place. Because how long, O Lord, before these enemies will be judged and this old flesh will be put off? How long, O Lord? And there is a prayer for that. But it's got to be led by the Spirit. You can't just make that groaning up, by the way. Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this house, this body, do groan in the earthly body. While in this tabernacle of this earthly house, we groan, notice, being burdened. He said it. I've taught it many times through Paul's example. You shouldn't expect that the flesh will be a burden to you. It is the way it is. And we got to accept that if I stay in the eyes of this flesh and focus on this flesh, that burden will overtake me. But if I could see a heavenly and put that on, oh, there's no more burden. I'm not going to have to be overcome with that burden. I may have to resist it daily, but I'm not going to be overcome by it. That's an answer, man. That's an answer to prayer. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's good, man. Isn't that the mindset we should be? My mortality can be swallowed up and I can walk in newness of life. That's what we're praying for. That's what the groaning is for. That's what the desiring is for. And so we go on. I'm just going to read right through it and move to the end and I'll be good. Verse 5. Now he that has wrought us for this selfsame thing, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now here's the crux of what I want to get to here. He prepared us. When it says he who has wrought us, it's prepared us. He has prepared us for this thing. You hear this? He has prepared us for this thing is God. He who has prepared is God. It's God who has given us the earnest of the Spirit. In other words, what is he saying here? Do you guys follow what he's saying here? You know what he's saying? He's saying, I've put you in the flesh, but don't worry, because my preparation is because I've given you a part of the Spirit. Right now, you're part flesh and you're part Spirit, but I've given you part Spirit so that you can walk in the flesh without a problem. Though you're burdened, I create the prayers. I create the hope. I create the life. I create the receiving and giving. I give it all to you. I've given you the earnest of the Spirit, or some people call that a down payment, kind of preparing the way. So the Lord is saying, look, or Paul is saying, the Lord has prepared us for this. Don't even worry about it. You have been given the Spirit so you can overcome these burdens until the earthly house goes away forever. But right now, you may have to deal with that earthly house. Is that okay? Yeah, because I have the Spirit. I have the earnest of the Spirit. I'm good. Therefore, I can live for God. You can't use flesh as an excuse and say, I can't live for God because I just deal with too much in life. No. You're telling God he's a liar. Don't do that. What has he given you to prepare you and help you live in the Spirit? The earnest of the Spirit. Say, well, how does that come? How do I know it's there? The Word of God is going to help you understand that. That's kind of an answer you have to answer for yourself, don't you? The Lord has to work with you and bring you to that discernment. But here it is. The Lord is saying, I've not left you naked and alone. I have given you my Spirit to help you get through this and deal with that burden. I mean, that's a lot of hope. Let's finish what he says here, because this is good. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Does everybody know what that means? Well, it's simple. If you're only in the flesh, you're absent from the Lord, aren't you? But if the earnest of the Spirit is working there, who's working there with you? See, he's clarifying. Because when you're with the Lord, you're not at home in the body, you're with the Lord. Let's keep finishing this. A few more verses. So let me read that again. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Here it is, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's our answer. He gave us the earnest of the Spirit and taught us, how do I live in the flesh? Everybody read it. I walk by faith and not by sight. What is the sight referring to? Isn't it now referring back to what is seen is temporal? Oh, see, Paul is so masterful at laying this out. That's why I had to read it so close to this, what he wrote today. He wrote it to where, here's my answer. I just got the answer of how to walk in the flesh. If I only see in the flesh, I am temporal, I'm of the earth, I'm absent from the Lord. But if the earnest of the Spirit comes in and fills my heart with faith, oh, that's how I walk in the flesh. I am not actually of the flesh. I am of the Spirit. I have a heavenly home. I have an eternal word in me. So how do you walk it? By faith. It's like, I know this. I know. I've been teaching. I walk in faith. And you could say, I've been telling everybody for years, you walk by faith, man. You walk by faith. But let me tell you, faith can be a secret of God that needs to be revealed. My prayer for all of us is that this earnest of the Spirit and this faith of God has not only entered your heart, but is now magnified in the Lord to where you can see so greatly, I have a heavenly home. I am not of this earth. And that heavenly home, it's mine. It's where God lives. How do I get there? By the Spirit He's put in me. By the faith He's put in me. That's what I'm walking by. And therefore, as I go and serve the Lord, I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to do it by faith. And what's really cool about that, I think I could keep reading, but I think I'm going to stop there. And we'll just tie back into this many times, because this really is a continuation. I've preached this many times in different ways, but there's a thought here that I got to leave you with in this, and that we cannot overlook today. Is there no hope by living only in the flesh? Everybody say, there is no hope only living in the flesh. If all I have is this life, that's it. I am miserable. I am miserable. Oh, we were talking about that last night, Micah. Miserable. I could have all the wealth, and I still come to misery at some point. Fame, fortune, and all of that goal-oriented stuff in the flesh, it doesn't bring you anywhere. Does it? It's life in God that fulfills. And this gospel is bringing us and opening our eyes that God has put His Spirit in us. No matter what measure you think you're walking in. Did everybody just hear what I said? There are different measures of the Spirit in here. Some of you will see, let's take the old glass half full, half empty, maybe, or a percentage even. To explain this is the best way I could do it. Let's say a person is at 30% heavenly vision, 70% earthly. You think you're going to struggle a little more in the earth because most of your mindset is earthly and you give your time and all your thoughts and everything in you is about the earth? You're probably going to struggle a little more in God, aren't you? Serving God, being faithful. But let's go extreme opposite. Imagine being at 30% earth and 70% heavenly. I'd say you're well on your way to walking in the Spirit. And you say, is that impossible? Well, Rick said up here in an interview, and he said, you got to give 100%. Hey, you know what that told me that day? I believe Rick because he believed God, and God said all things are possible. Yeah, you could, but it won't be 100% in the flesh. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the inner being. You say, well, I got a little ways to go for that 100% thing. Don't worry. What's the answer? Keep walking by faith. Keep hearing the Word of God. Keep coming back. Keep receiving. Keep being faithful. Does a child grow up? Yep. Does God honor His Word? Yep. Is God a liar? Everybody? No? Would you stand up on your feet and say, God's not a liar? Would you stand up and tell everybody God's not a liar? Is that how confident you are? Well, I'm asking, would you? I said confidently. You guys are funny. You're like, is he serious right now? He's like, what is he talking about? What is he doing? Look, God's not a liar. Look, I'm standing saying it. God's not a liar. He's not. So we're going to believe His Word. So does He say that He's given me enough Spirit of God, enough truth that I can walk by faith and not by sight? Then I will do it. Now I have, if you say, I will do it then. He's given me the Spirit enough. Because I only have 5% heavenly and 95% earthly. Well, that seed of God, that 5%, that's awesome. That's enough. 5% of God is enough to blow everything in this world to smithereens. So, we won't limit God. We're the ones limited. But if you're here today and you do say, He's given me enough of the Word of God and enough Spirit that I'm going to walk by faith, I will do it, then now you can stand up, if that's you. You say, I will walk by faith. That's what I'm going to do. The next part would be, am I willing to work with the Lord as He deals with this old flesh that I deal with? Will I work with Him? Will I be willing? Will I, in my soul, will I make good decisions to honor the Lord? Yes, I will. And the Lord will answer the prayers. And the Lord will do what He started, right? And so today, we've got to continue always in this mindset. We'll get into other subjects and other thoughts, but I need you to know there is one underlining thing in God building a church. He has to build it on His revelation of Jesus, 100%. But that starts with all of us realizing we have an inner being. And that inner being is what God is working with and changing. And so while we learn a lot of stuff in this world, and we do learn a lot of stuff in the flesh, we really do. And a lot of it can be very helpful. We don't want to overlook that. But one thing it will never teach us, ever, is what? You said it. Who said it? The eternal realm. It will never build your spiritual house. Ever. That's why we need teachings like this, okay? And I need to remind you continually. It's the Word of the Lord, so just keep trusting the Lord.